Well, it's almost Christmas. It's a great time of the year. It's a fun time of the year. You get to go out and deal with traffic and all kinds of other shoppers everywhere that you go. And some of them are really nice. But it's a great time of year, but it's an easy time of year, I think, for us to kind of lose sight of what exactly we are celebrating. So we're going to talk about this. The title of the series is called If This Is True, and it's really kind of two parts. It's going to be today, and then on Christmas Eve, we'll finish it up. But there's some real truths that surround this holiday that I think are easy to forget. I was reading not too long ago a book by A.W. Tozier. It's called Pursuit of God. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, I would highly encourage that you do so. But in it, he talks about the fact that one of the primary problems for us is that what was this throne inside of us that was meant to house God, where he was supposed to sit, we put all kinds of other things on that throne. We put money or possessions or material things, or essentially what we do is we take the created and we put it on the throne where only the Creator belonged. And I think Christmas is one of those times where it becomes extraordinarily difficult to remember that that throne only belongs to God. Sometimes we can think the parties are the big thing, or the gifts are the big thing, or the money is the big thing, we just got to be careful that we don't take the Creator off of the throne and put something created on it. So maybe it's a good time to remember exactly what happened at Christmas. Because I think we forget sometimes. And when we forget, those things tend to get out of order for us, and the wrong things end up on the throne of our lives. And I've heard people say, Jesus is my co-pilot, and I would tell you that biblically that's no more errant statement could ever be made in your life. He's either driving the car or he's not in it. he's not a co-pilot for anybody. And Christmas is no different than that. So I want us to remember the real reasons for Christmas, so that we don't just make him a tag on to it, and we don't just throw him a little side acknowledgement and forget exactly what happened for us on Christmas Day. So I'm going to pray for us, and we'll jump into our message for today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are humbled. Humbled at the opportunity to gather and praise and worship, to listen to your word being read to us, to hear of your coming and what it means. Lord, we are humbled. We did not deserve all that you have done. We didn't deserve the grace that we've been given. We celebrate this holiday, and sometimes we forget how undeserving we are of what you did for us. You came. You came to us. We didn't come to you. You came to us. Help us to remember that this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John 1:1 through 14 are our verses for today. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christmas is a tremendous time of year, but only if it's true. Only if he really came and dwelt among us. Only then is Christmas the spectacle that it is, the celebration that it is. Christmas isn't on its face or in its base or foundation, is not a tradition. It's not even a moral lesson. It's a claim. It's a claim that God entered human history, that God came down, that he came to us. That's what Christmas is about. We say the birth of Jesus, but the birth of Jesus was God entering human history. He dwelt among us. It tells us in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He tells us in Isaiah 7:14, 750 plus years before Christ is born, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1:22-23 says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. God entered human history on Christmas Day. That's what we celebrate. We celebrate the birth of Jesus because it means God is with us. Christmas begins with a claim. The Word became flesh. Christianity doesn't start with do better, be better, act better, meet God halfway. Those are not the messages of Christianity. Christianity says God came to us. He sought us out. He came here to redeem us, to offer grace. Every other religion says here is how you get to God. Our religion says here's how God got to you. God did not send a message. He sent himself. He came down. He dwelt among us. It's an interesting, easy fact to forget. Jesus is not God's representative. He is God revealed. God could have chosen many ways to intervene. He could have chosen all kinds of ways to deliver the message that we even read in the Bible. He could have just spoken through more prophets. He could have come as a king with more authority than any other king. He could have created a whole system of much clearer rules and regulations that we needed to follow. Could have done that. He could have done any of those things. He could have come up with a better speaker. But instead, he sent his son. He sent himself. to dwell among us. Hebrews 1:1-3 says, "Long ago and many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Jesus isn't simply God's voice. He's God revealed. He didn't remain distant. He didn't even remain offended. He didn't remain abstract. He entered hunger, grief, betrayal, fatigue, loss. He entered human history. God understands suffering because he stepped into it. There are times where we go through times like this. I've talked about Christmas isn't always the easiest time for me, and sometimes it's easy to think, well, all these glorious, easy things that are going on, God would never understand the difficulties that I'm dealing with in my life. But the fact of the matter is, God stepped right into these things. He's experienced them. Faith is not trusting a theory, it's trusting a person. Most other religions in the world trust a theory of some sort. If you do this well enough, you'll get this reward. We trust a person. The person. God revealed in human form, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The person we celebrate Christmas because of. We have to understand that nearness changed everything. God didn't come to make bad people better. He came to make dead people alive. Christmas is God refusing to stay far away. For believers, it means we should stop treating Christmas like a reset button for our behavior. We should instead let it remind us of who God is, where he is, and the fact that he is near to you today. For seekers, if God came once, maybe he's nearer to you than you think. He's certainly nearer to us than I think we do think very often. But if God truly came near, then the question isn't just who he is, but why he came. The difference between a message and a presence is something that should be roundly understood. I remember when I grew up in a different type of household. I've talked about it a little bit before, but you know, if you were hurt or something was going wrong in your life, nobody came over to you and tapped you on the back and said, "Hey, it's going to be okay. You're going to be all right." Or there was no reassurance like that. It was much more distant, if anything. It's kind of like if your child, I mean, all of us, if you have children or you are a child and you're upset and somebody just yells from the hallway, "It'll be all right." That's a message. They walk in the room, hug you, pat you on the back, tell you it's going to be okay, bring you tissues to dry tears, or help pick you up when you're falling down. That's a presence. That's not just a message. We have a presence with us. The person of Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. It's not just a message. He's here today. Sometimes we think about it maybe abstractly, like he's standing somewhere a little farther away from us. He's not right beside us. We might think about it like you guys think of you sitting there and me being here. We think this distance that's between us, but that's not how God came to us. God came to us by walking right down into the middle of where we are and saying, I'm right here. I'm right here. Not separated by a distance. He bridged the different distance. He closed the gap. He drew near to us. And Christmas is our chance to draw near to Him. To pull back all of the clutter of the world around us and to just rest in the presence of God. The incarnation means God understands. It's the difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy says, I'm sorry you're going through that. And sometimes we do that. I don't know if you've done this or not, but sometimes I have offended someone or hurt someone, and I say things like, I'm sorry that it made you feel that way. Which really means, I'm not sorry for what I did. I'm sorry that you feel bad about what I did. That's what that means. And sometimes in sympathy, we can do that too. It's like, man, I heard you're going through a bad time. I feel for you, but we don't have any empathy. We don't understand. We've not been through that thing. So we struggle to connect with them in that moment. We have a God of empathy who walked among us, who dealt with the things we deal with, who was tempted in the ways we're tempted, who was tried the way we're tried, who was crucified for the things we've done wrong. He has empathy. Christmas is God saying, I know because I've been there. God drew near. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's not an abstract thought. It's a concrete reality. Nearness, in case you wonder, was always the goal. From Genesis to Revelation, God's desire has been to dwell with His people. Revelation 21:3 says, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. Leviticus 26:11-12 says, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. Exodus 25:8 says, And let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Drawing close to us, dwelling with us, was always the goal of God. But it's not always our goal. Our goal is not always to dwell with Him. And Christmas is a great reminder for us that there are times and things that we need to repent of too. And sometimes it's because He came to His own and His own received Him not. We haven't relished in the presence of God. We've avoided it. We've gone other directions. We've been stubborn and hard-hearted and stiff-necked and difficult and opinionated. And Christmas is our opportunity to say, God, I'm sorry. You've been here the whole time. And I missed it. Christmas is not an interruption to God's plan. It's the center of His plan. He dwelt among us. The word dwell literally means to tabernacle. If you wanted to put it in layman's terms, it means God pitched His tent in our neighborhood. He entered the experiment. He didn't just view it from a distance. He moved into the mess. God didn't observe from a distance. If God came near once, it means He's not afraid of your doubts. He's not repelled by your past. He's not distant from your questions. Christmas is God making the first move. Commentator once wrote, "No matter what you think you have done in your life, previously God did something first." All of us that are sitting here today that call ourselves Christians, it's because God did something first 2,000 years ago to make it even possible that we could do any of these things. But it's important for us to remember that Christmas means He's near, but nearness requires a response. It forces a question. Because we even read in Scripture that not everyone welcomed Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. So the question for us, I think, as we go towards Christmas, as we move towards the morning, the celebration, the presents, all of the family around, is what will you do with a God who comes near? What will you do with that God? This is not a God that's some far off distance that you're making a decision about. This is a God who already made a decision about you, who's standing right beside you, in and amongst you. And now your decision is, what will you do with that God? Will He be on the throne on Christmas morning? Or will something else be? Maybe even yourself. We do a really good job of making ourselves king of our own lives. It's like this unopened gift, though, I think, sometimes. A gift can be perfectly wrapped, sincerely given, freely offered. But if you don't open the thing, there's not a thing in the world that means to you, other than the fact that it's a pretty wrapped package. That's about the extent of it. I would encourage you, especially this Christmas, to make sure you're opening the gift of a God who came near, who's here for you. Because an unopened gift changes nothing. It changes nothing in us. It changes nothing in the person we're going to run into tomorrow or today, or does nothing for them. Christmas is God offering Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And the question for us is whether we're opening that gift, whether we're really enjoying that gift, whether we're really celebrating what happened on that day. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And if that's true, it changes everything. I remember when I was young, I'd moved into my granddad's house, and my aunt and uncle had to move in too because they were building a house, and so we had a really full house for a little bit. And I remember my cousin was really upset about an incident happening at school that day, and I walked upstairs and I saw my aunt sitting on the bed rubbing his back and telling him it was going to be all right and reassuring him, and I remember being very envious that there was someone to do that for you. I have to tell you, we have a God who's much closer than that. Who comes not only to rub our back and tell us it'll be okay, but to show us how it's going to be okay. And that there's a plan and a purpose to the things that we're going through and the things we've dealt with in our lives. A God who cries when we cry, who feels when we feel, not a distant, abstract God, a person who walked and dwelt among us, who came for us. He came to His own. Maybe He's coming to His own right now, in this place. Are we going to receive Him? Or are we going to reject Him? Christmas always forces us back to this moment where we have to make a decision about what we are going to do with a God who came near, who isn't waiting for us to meet Him halfway. He's not waiting for us to make some kind of decision. He's already made His decision and threw in His lot with us. God came near, but not just to be close. He came for a purpose and a reason. That purpose and reason is what we're going to talk about on Christmas Eve. The purpose and reason are redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness. Sometimes we can feel like those things are a long ways from us. Like maybe if God knew exactly what we did, He wouldn't be willing to forgive us either. Maybe redemption is just out of our reach. Maybe reconciliation is not something that we can make happen. And when God enters the world on Christmas, He's saying, "You're right. You can't reach redemption. You can't obtain reconciliation. You can't manage to get forgiveness for yourself. So I'll do it for you. I will come here and pay the price for you." The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And if that's true, it should change everything. And I hope for you, as you approach Christmas this year, it does change everything. That you're so overwhelmed by the nearness of God that it changes everything about the way you celebrate Christmas this year. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As we go to our time of invitation, I would encourage you to reflect on those words, to think about what it means for God to truly be near to you and the response you should have because of it. If you would please stand with me, we'll go to our time of invitation. This time of invitation is for you to respond in whatever way God may be moving you to do that, whether that's coming forward to pray, whether that's coming forward to join the church, whatever it is. This time of response or invitation is for you to react or to respond to what it is that God is calling you to do. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful. Grateful for a God who came near. Grateful for a God who didn't wait for us to bridge the gap. You bridged it yourself. You came and walked among us. You did what we couldn't do. I pray, Lord, that as we go into Christmas, that we celebrate it with a realistic viewpoint of just how close to us You are. Emmanuel, God is with us. May we feel that this year as we celebrate Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.